special moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live?
Yeah!
Orange whip.
Come get some.
Orange whip.
And here it is.
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nail down the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive.
Wonderful to tell.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
We are back. It is the big program. I am Derek Knights. It is a wonderful day to die. It was a good day to die. That was the line, right, from Little Big Man? Doesn't matter. Anyway, Colin Burton is sitting with us in studio, drunk as a proverbial skunk.
Yeah.
How's that hanging? I made him a couple of tiki drinks. Tiki drinks notoriously heavy on the alcohol, high on flavor.
Probably a mistake.
No. Believe me, it's going to turn out really well.
I got to work tomorrow.
You're going to be calling in sick. My sister Heather only had one drink because she only drinks amaretto sours.
Hello.
And Moscow Mules, and I only had enough to make her one of those things.
But it was good.
It was good. If you get your mic closer to your mouth, we'll be...
It was good.
There we go. And Jess, who is just drinking like the proverbial alcoholic fish, just like I am, double-fisting, great stuff.
I'm completely sober right now.
Super sober. We are all super as a super soaker right now. And we're going to talk about stuff on the old podcast. Last episode, we talked a lot about Stranger Things 3. And we did that because... Thank you. Stranger Things 3, when you... I have this little thing called Soundbite, and it's a... It's like a digital cart machine. Heather understands that. Jess might, too, having worked in radio.
Yeah.
The idea of a cart machine. But if I turn the volume slider down on the individual thing, but then I hit it to stop it, it decides it has to turn it up before it fades it out.
Whop!
I know. There's probably a way for me to change that, but...
But then we'd lose the comedic effect of your elbow.
Of my elbow. Yeah. So we talked about Stranger Things 3 quite a bit in the last episode, but we failed to talk about...
The never-ending story!
Which, I mean, when that popped up, I mean, A, every single one of us wanted Susie to be real. I knew Susie would be real. I knew with the trope of Susie popping up in the most serious moment would happen, and she did. She popped up with the information that the team needed in the most crucial moment. But Colin didn't like what happened.
That's not that I didn't. Well, yeah. I didn't
for those
like
of you who don't, again, spoiler alert, but we're going to say it anyway. She made her Dusty Buns sing the theme to Never Ending Story in its entirety, by the way, before she would give him the information that they needed. But to be fair, how the fuck could she know in Salt Lake City, Utah, that he wasn't just blowing smoke up her ass and he had to defeat the Russians and save the world?
So, also, to be fair. Any of the other people that were on the line could have chimed in at any moment and said, hey, we need this information. Stop your bullshit. But
and
of course they didn't.
And yet, because it was an 80s derivative homage,
they
were all
out.
Enchanted by this love affair that was going on in front of them because none of them thought that Susie was real. I liked it. Jess, what did you think? I mean, I was laughing my ass off.
You were also drunk.
I loved the moment.
I might have been drunk, but I was coherent.
I am only moderately miffed that they have totally fucked my karaoke song into oblivion.
That's true.
Because I've been pulling that song out at karaoke for like 5 years now.
But see, now...
And until now, it was like, oh, this is this obscure thing from the 80s that we loved, and now it's in Stranger Things, and it's like, oh, you're doing it because Stranger Things! And it's like, I will never be able to sing that at karaoke
again. How do you think I felt, you know, doing for years... The Bonnie Tyler Total Eclipse of the Heart, and suddenly the Dan Band come out with their bullshit rendition, and everybody's like, oh, you like the Dan Band? And it's like, no, actually not really. Even though we did have the Dan Band as our musical guest at one of the Geek Bowls, and dude, was
they
great.
Were amazing.
It was fucking
they were
great.
Amazing.
But that's
but
not
still,
the
you,
version that
you
I do.
Were, you were doing it before the Dan Band was doing it,
hipster.
Or at least in concert. Mm-hmm. It was
you're
a
hipster.
I yeah, total proto yep, hipster.
Right where I was going with that.
It was cool before it was cool. All right, you guys.
It's okay. It's all right. Just pull your big boy pants on and move on.
Yeah, same with you. You're gonna just have to do your REM thing.
I got my translucent big boy pants on. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's get a little peek behind the curtain.
Talk
peek,
about your pants.
See, peek behind the curtain. Here's the thing. I recently found out that my underwear are see-through.
Did you now?
Now, how does that happen, do you think?
Right? Well,
I never would have known. But I wear two kinds.
She's turning purple.
Yes. I wear two kinds of underwear. One, which she calls my Silky Man panties, because they're...
Oh, my God. Too much information.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing is going to be too much. Because they're made with the same, like, compression material that just, like, a compression shirt or pants would be made of. But they're boxer briefs because that's the indecisive El Camino of underwear.
I love the way he's trying to justify this.
And I don't like thigh chafes. So.
No, of course not. Yeah. Make that shit silky.
Yeah. So I wore those for a while exclusively, and then I found the same company that makes them, Jockey, makes these things that are the same, but mesh. So they're breathable.
Ooh.
So I don't have to air my junk out in front of the air conditioner.
So
I can
like
just,
2 nights ago.
Yeah.
We're in bed. And
no, we're
gets,
not in bed yet.
We're not in bed yet. We're getting ready for bed. We're getting ready for bed, and he leans over to pet my cat.
Not a euphemism.
Not a euphemism. Not a euphemism.
She has this big, giant cat.
My cat was on the... And Derek leans over to pet my cat, and I was like, your underwear are completely see-through. You realize this?
And I was like, well, to
I
be
was,
fair...
I was like,
did,
money
she,
shot.
She did,
hello.
She let out with this sarcastic wolf whistle.
Sarcastic wolf whistle.
And that was like...
It was a legitimate wolf whistle.
Your underwear
whistle
is see-through. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
then.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. It is, I don't...
You're like, who
I am,
gives a shit other than you?
I am going to do the listener justice and not describe it in intimate detail because I'm sure they can put it together for themselves at this point.
As long as you don't wear them out into public.
Right, yeah, I'm not an underwear in public kind of guy. I really am not.
But if
I
you want to know, he wears
I'm an
see-through underwear most of the time.
Firmly locked away inside my pants in public kind of guy. I don't... Mm. But she got such a kick out of it because she laughed for... Like that. She
like
did
four
that.
Days. For four and days. We're like 6 days in at this point. I'm
and,
still laughing.
And I finally realized why people moon other people. There is comedic value, apparently, in showing your ass meats to other people. I never understood that before, but I get it now. So, yeah.
Too much information. I'm sorry. Heather, the look on your face right now.
Yeah, you're going to need to get that mic closer to your face. Yeah, just stop moving it.
I'm not moving it.
Start learning to make no noise when it's time to make no noise.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's rather zen.
See? Find a zen point.
Whatever you do.
Have you ever experienced a zen moment?
I don't know.
Really?
I mean, I would doubt it. But I don't know. I don't know your life. I'm not your real dad.
Oh,
I think you're zen. You're doing genealogy.
She is making a face.
Zen.
The thing that you can't see at this point. She is making a face that says, I have never fucking been zen in my life. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Holy shit. Like, I get zen when I draw, but I haven't drawn in years. But,
Well, but, maybe yeah, genealogy, think... but...
Now, speaking of genealogy, Ancestry.com tried to charge me $149 yesterday.
What?
I woke up this morning, they're like, we renewed your membership. And I'm like, fuck you. I never signed up for that shit.
Oh my
so
God.
Had to cancel that at 5 this morning when I was like using the bathroom. I'm like, what the fuck is this message from PayPal? Like, oh, son of a bitch.
Send them a picture of your clear underwear.
I should have. I would have been like, and this for emphasis.
Right.
This is my
read between the dots
through my see-through man panties. Yeah, she calls them man panties.
Man panties.
I mean, I guess they are.
They're very.
They're
silky.
The diminutive of pants. It's because I don't like thigh chafe.
underpants.
And I respect that. Ladies and gentlemen, I respect that you respect comfort.
I am a man of larger carriage.
It shows.
It shows. And the reason, here's the thing, more TMI and more history. The reason that I went from briefs to boxer briefs, in 2005, I started officiating football.
I love that you keep track of this, like, the documentation of Derek Knight's underwear.
It's important.
It is very important because I started officiating football and I had to run for the, you know, actively for a long time for the first time, and because I don't like to run. And I had to officiate a game on a very hot summer day, and I came home with the most horrible thigh chafe. And I'm like, never again. Never again. And so I went out and bought a whole shitload of boxer briefs, and that ended that.
So, boxer briefs instead of Desitin, huh?
Well, I had to use the Desitin then, but I was like, I don't want to do this ever again.
Right.
So, just boxer briefs from here on out. And then these silky man panties came out, and I'm like, silky man panties? These are for me. And then these mesh man panties are like, oh, not airing out your junk repeatedly? Man panties for me. So, yeah, that's fine.
It's like the... Like, what's the closest thing you can wear that's like wearing underwear but not wearing anything at all?
These. Mesh man panties. That's pretty. And it's not like a loose, like.
Oh, no, they're tight.
Like a koosh ball?
No, what I'm saying is not like a. They're not mesh like fishnets. You know, shit's not bulging out and poking through. No, it's a very fine mesh. It's like cheesecloth, you know?
So much cheese.
It's a silky cheesecloth. Like, if you wanted to strain cheese...
You can see everything.
You can't, unless you're looking for it. Apparently, if I'm bending over and petting your cat real aggressively...
Not a euphemism.
Jesus. He's an aggressive cat. Likes it. He likes it.
Not a euphemism.
Anyway, where the fuck were we here?
Oh my god, where were we?
I mean,
we were talking about Neverending Story.
We were talking about the Neverending Story scene from Stranger Things 3. I liked it. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it fit with the 80s trope of bringing it right up to the edge because they did more of that. They did the Raiders of the Lost Ark / Temple of Doom trope not long after that when Terminator was trying to force Hopper's head into the thing.
Yeah.
And that's all that was all part and parcel of that 80s trope of let's bring it right to the edge and overdo it, but we still make it.
Speaking of which, I'm going to have a total Debbie Downer moment here.
Please do.
Neverending Story. Movie that changed my life.
Yeah.
That I wish I never would have watched as an adult.
I got to watch it with you, though.
It totally didn't hold up.
It's a shitty movie.
It utterly doesn't hold up. I'm so sorry. I feel destroyed inside because that movie changed my life, and it does not hold up.
I thank you very much for making me watch it, because that Facebook post of my reaction to that got more likes than anything from last year, I think, that I posted. But it was just a stream of consciousness rant, kind of like when we have my mom do movie reviews. It was just this stream of consciousness, holy shit, what the fuck was this? So if you're Facebook friends with me, look that up.
I still love the song.
Yeah, the song is great.
The movie.
Lamal's a creepy looking fucker. It looks like
a disjointed
sci-fi Billy Ray Cyrus.
Piece of shit.
Or Billy Ray Sci-Fi-rus, but Billy Ray Sci-Fi-rus.
I like that.
That's Lamal is Billy Ray Sci-Fi-rus. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Oh.
She said it was disjointed.
I believe I called the movie a disjointed piece of shit.
It is.
Only because
it
changed my childhood. I loved that movie so much, and I watched it as an adult, and I'm like, oh.
Kids movies in the
80s. I'm so disappointed that this is geared towards 8-year-old mentality.
Yeah, but kids movies in the 80s were disjointed pieces of shit. They were designed to make money. I mean, every movie is designed to make money.
And sell toys. Sometimes.
And that whole let's be artistic with shit didn't start happening into the 90s, and let's be fair, it wasn't really well done into the aughts. I mean, there was some pretty cool shit that was going on in the 60s and 70s, and the 80s was a golden age for cinema, for comedy cinema. But taking shit seriously, like if that movie were made in like 2010, it probably would be epic as fuck.
Oh my god. Okay, if there is a movie that legitimately is a candidate for a pure remake, they should redo that Neverending Story.
Well, I mean, if you like what Stranger Things is doing, I think the Duffer Brothers should totally take on that project.
They really should redo that movie.
Yeah.
So was Labyrinth around the same time?
Well, she's the Muppet expert.
Yes.
So don't
Dark Crystal and Labyrinth are both genius still.
Here's the thing.
And they hold up.
When
they
she puts up one finger and then that second finger, shit's about to go down. So I'll let you talk.
Did you see the Dark Crystal series?
I have not seen the series yet. I'm excited about it. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
I was told
yesterday.
But I mean,
you've seen previews for it, right?
She told me yesterday that I sounded like a Skeksis.
I use that reference a lot.
But I can't remember what I was doing. Yeah. Oh, we were at the distillery.
We were at the distillery, yeah.
And I got a sample and I went, hey.
Yeah, and both Steph and I at the same time were like, Skeksis! Because Steph understands. She knows.
I didn't get it.
No, seriously, though, Dark Crystal and Labyrinth both hold up. And the reason they hold up is because Jim Henson. I mean, Jim Henson knew what he was doing. He was ahead of his time. He cared about special effects. Like, there is a level of quality and cohesion there that didn't happen very often. So I'm excited to watch the new Dark Crystal thing. I think maybe we should watch it and talk about it for a future episode, because those of us that like fantasy are totally into it, and those of us here, Derek Koff, that disdain fantasy are going to be like, shit, I have to watch this. Are you kidding me?
Speaking of Jim Henson, his daughter was the first female president of the Harvard Lampoon. That's some trivia news you can use. I don't know how, but it's true.
We'll put it in a quiz sometime. And
we did. We already did.
Oh, well, fuck.
I have to make these videos for a quiz for my day job that are random knowledge videos, and they take me for fucking ever. It's like 40 fucking hours of my time. They turn out looking great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're wonderful.
But, oh, you've watched them?
Some. When we've gone to a quiz.
Oh, no. This is something totally different.
Oh, something different?
Yeah. I mean, yes, the stuff
then I haven't watched it.
The stuff I do for quiz looks great too. Thank you. I'm glad that you're a fan of what I do.
You bet.
Boy, my head's not too big to fit through the door now.
Yeah, okay, no, so what is this other thing you're talking about?
It's a thing where we take, as they say, we take parts of the quiz that need more expansion to talk about, and we and they write the editorial, writes the script, and I have to make the video happen. And so I learn a lot. You know,
they're great videos. It's like a deep dive video, like a 3-minute deep dive into a specific topic.
Yeah.
And
then I animate, you know, all kinds of, like, for the last one, I animated these very generic Supreme Court justices that looked just like out of touch old men slamming a gavel. And it was really fun. You know, I was like doing all this animation stuff.
It's a crazy amount of animation work for what people probably think that you actually do.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that I'm hand drawing and hand animating some of these things. Just because I'm like, I can't find something I like, so.
Make it.
I'm going to make it up.
Yeah. Cool.
Which. I don't know if I'm getting paid enough for that, but I'll have to have a chat with my boss.
Well, here's the thing. You work from home and you get to travel.
I do.
So, honestly, it's still better than where I am.
I get to set my own hours.
As long as you get done what you need to get done.
And I work roughly 5 feet from my bar, so
yeah,
I shouldn't complain.
Really? You're living the dream.
You have a beautiful job.
I don't complain as much as when I worked, you know, side by side with Colin at the various jobs that we have worked together at.
Yeah.
Being three now.
Mm-hmm.
We work together at three jobs.
We have.
Three. Our lives are intertwined like some sort of demented DNA strand.
I think we're fairly well separated now, though. I don't think you're going to end up wherever I am at this point.
And you're probably happy about it. You say that with a lot of glee.
Well, there was not much glee there. I'm actually pretty drunk, but...
So you're not a happy... Colin's not a happy drunk.
Well, no, I'm just saying that unless... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but... Yeah.
I have a question.
It's fun while it
Please
lasted.
Ask said question.
It's completely unrelated to anything that we have talked about or was spec'd out for this podcast.
This is probably the only way we're going to move the plot along.
Colin, I've noticed you've made an interesting facial hairstyle choice with your beard recently.
I have.
He dipped it in blood.
Can you expand upon this a little bit? And I would love Heather's opinion on this as well.
Okay, well, here's the thing. So my beard has gotten to the point where I was getting ready to either just shave it off or try something different.
Listener, just for a visual idea, he's got what Jim the Anvil Neidhart had in the 80s. It's pretty much the Jim the Anvil Neidhart beard.
Okay.
And see, I was thinking dude from Anthrax as well.
I mean, Scotty, a little Scotty, but it's more, I mean, if you look at him with the hairstyle.
Right.
It's definitely Anvil Neidhart.
And so, like I told Heather, I'm going to shave it off. I've had enough. And she's like, oh, please don't. I like it. But it's your face. You do what you want. So I decided to, back in the day when I had hair on the top of my head, I would henna it and get it nice and red. And I decided to go ahead and try that with my beard, but I didn't want to do it all the way up. I just wanted to kind of do a flame kind
so
of effect.
So you made your beard a bomb pop.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, it looks cool. I'm not saying it doesn't look cool.
And now I'm thinking I wish I had thought to do my hair blue, because then I'd have been perfect for the forest.
Yeah, you would have been.
Red,
white,
blue. But,
yeah, you would have been America.
So that's why I did it.
Yep.
Heather,
yes.
Honest opinions. Like, how did this process go down for you?
Oh, I told, well, the same thing. I mean, it's like I basically told him, it's your face, you can do what you want.
She always says that.
I do. But then I was like worried about how red it was going to be, so I was kind of iffy. I was like, oh, what if it comes out and then he doesn't like it and it looks weird and he's going to be sad and then he'll shave it off because he doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. But I really like it. I think it's cute. But like this morning I was laying in bed, I was half asleep, and I rolled over and I put my head on his chest and all I saw was the red part of the beard, and I got scared for a second because I was like, who is this?
Yeah, because I mean my beard is
my head. Pretty much. See, who am I laying on?
The thing is this red is the red that my hair was when I was young. It's pretty much almost
so
exact.
It's like a natural color, but
yeah, circa, it's just
years ago.
But yeah, exactly. I'm at an age where my beard has grown out nothing but gray except on the sides. So yeah. So I decided to give it a shot. And I got some comments at work, as you would expect.
Some comments?
Yeah.
What comments?
The HR person said, so I want to ask, did you color your beard? And then it went into a long thing there and during the meeting.
You guys have an HR person now?
You know who we have for HR.
Oh, so it's the same.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's the same
not
situation.
Really an HR person.
So not an actual trained in HR person.
As real as we get. Let's just put
real
it that
from
way.
The standpoint of you can poke this person and they have a corporal form.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, all right. I mean,
ADP is similar to the company that I work for. ADP is HR, but every HR has to have a physical corporal form.
What I find interesting is we still have these forms, these sheets that we have to have on the wall that have all the information about working or whatever from the government.
Government!
Yeah, and it has the minimum wage, and it still says $7 and something.
Ours does,
they're
too.
Like from 2013.
They need to update those. That's illegal.
Well, that's what I thought, too, but you know what? Here we are.
And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. The building doesn't burn down. It doesn't combust spontaneously.
Yeah, so.
Ours still says, like, $7.25.
Wow.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's wrong, but...
It's wrong, but it's there.
It's there.
Mm. So. Speaking of wrong, you guys want to listen to another movie review?
Yes.
From our good friend Karen Knight?
Absolutely.
No.
This Hold is on. Very strong, by the way.
Oh, the drink?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's my flagship. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Hey, that's Karen!
So this is a movie who has one of my very, very favorite actors in it, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He is trying to become a chef. He loves to cook and he studies. He has his little book. He always keeps this little book with him. So he works for a mobster or something. He had a lot of money. And he would have The Rock go and find these people for him and bring them back. He had to fight a lot, and it was real dangerous work, and for some reason, he
chef.
Didn't believe in guns. He just used his own guns. So he's a good guy. He's a real good guy, but the guy he works for, I don't think so. But the deal was, this guy wanted him to go find this man who it just so happened to be his son. If he did that, then he would give The Rock the money to buy his own restaurant. Well, this takes place in, I think... It was Colombia. He actually finds this guy that he's supposed to be looking for. This guy's son, and he tells him he's taking him back, and the guy says, no, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess he had a jeep to go find him. And it's just a little series of them going through the jungle and coming across different things, and, like, they get trapped. It gets their feet, and they're hanging by the trees, you know, hanging upside down. Yeah, snare. So anyway, and then there's all these monkeys in the trees. Not like monkeys like you think, but more like orangutans. No, not orangutans. More like mandrills. Is that a monkey? Like the gray ones with funny noses, and they're all just, you know, trying to get on him, and it's blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they meet up with this woman who is a native of this area. By the way, I really forgot something important. The kid is looking for this golden idol, but it was not real attractive or anything, not like in The Raiders of the Lost Ark, but
it's worth an idol you'd
millions
ask
and millions of dollars.
Not like an
more
American
More than idol. That, it would be a real feather in anybody's cap if they found it. And so she goes with them. They find it, and then she double-crosses them. She has them eat something. They're, like, paralyzed. So she takes the idol, and she leaves. Well, they manage to get out of that, and he fights off a lot of people, and he keeps this kid. He's going to take him back. Oh, I forgot another really important part. Christopher Walken plays a guy who's, he's very evil. Well, you know how Walken is. He just talks. He is so fun to listen to, and the way he says things, he is hilarious. So anyway, he meets up with The Rock and this kid, and anyway, there's a lot of fighting. Again, it's just incredible that these movies are so not real. Like in this little town, they're shooting all these bazookas and all these big giant guns, and of course The Rock doesn't ever get hit because he's only fighting with, you know, his fist and stuff, and is, you know, knocking people out with his feet, you know, because he's just such a great athlete and all that, which is just unreal. Anyway, long story short, he does prevail. He's going to take that kid back so he can get his restaurant. So he goes back, and this guy gives him heck about it. Still not going to want to help him. There is a point in there where he does use guns, and he gets his way, and he gets his restaurant. Hey, that's
Karen! So,
war is heck.
Somebody really liked Romancing the Stone, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Midnight Run, and they made a movie with The Rock of all those tropes. And
of all the wholesome things.
I want to say
it
has some Under Siege in it, too. It
doesn't play a chef in that. Steven Seagal. Well, so much Steven Seagal. Yeah.
But
Steven Seagal was a chef. That was a huge thing. Okay. That was a huge motif in every Steven Seagal movie. I just want to run my restaurant.
Okay, well, if you want your restaurant, you have to finally use guns. I think that's the moral. Yeah.
Oh, no, you can fight with your feet.
Knock people out with your feet.
But eventually use guns.
You know, use his... guns. His son's out, guns out.
You know, I'm gonna get my son back, even though he's searching for the stupid idol.
No, it was the mobster's son, I think.
That wouldn't be a feather in anybody's cap.
Yeah, the idol that's not a good looking idol, not an idol you'd ask to the
prom. It's not a great idol.
Not American Idol.
Yeah. You just rehashed her joke. This is good. It's going cyclical.
He was calling back.
Oh yeah, it's a callback. You're right. Callbacks are big. Callbacks are big in comedy. Yeah. Wow.
Your mom is brilliant.
She watched that. See, what she does is she goes to the gym in what they call the cardio cinema.
Yes. She gets on the cardio machine.
And she slowly walks on a treadmill.
While she's watching Dwayne the Rock.
And watches movies. Now, she loves The Rock, but she also got to recently see iRobot. And the only reason I know that was because I was trying to teach her how to use Siri.
Because
she has an iPhone, and I was trying to teach her how to use it, which she affectionately calls the little girl that lives in the phone. And I changed it to the Irish Siri because I was tired of her calling it the little girl in the phone. She still calls it that, but I use it, you know, for various things so I can show her what it can do. And I'm like, hey, Siri, set an alarm or set a timer for 14 minutes and 30 seconds. It's like 14 minutes and 30 seconds of counting. And I turn it off. And she's all, say thank you. And I'm like, I don't say thank you to robots. And she's like, oh, but you should.
Oh, no.
Because when the robot uprising happens. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, well, I watched a movie with these robots, and that Will Smith had a hell of a time defeating them. And what I learned was that she's afraid of things only if Will Smith has trouble defeating him. So she's afraid of aliens, Jafar, and a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in
the neighborhood. Yeah.
But she was serious about this idea of the robot uprising.
You need to change her Siri to be the Australian male. That's what mine is set at. And seriously, it's like the dumb Chris Hemsworth from Ghostbusters with the ladies.
I'll be honest, the Irish Siri isn't much smarter. I mean, it's pretty fucking dumb.
Well, I have the British male.
Yeah.
And when we went to Tombstone last year, moms just started calling him Nigel.
And Lars and Nigel.
Mm-hmm, and
this is
stuck,
like an awkward revelation, though, about each one of our personalities. Like, which Siri do you use?
I got the Irishman. Like, you're on the Irish.
So you're on the Irish man.
Irish man.
I'm on the Australian man. You are on the British man. Mm-hmm. Colin, what do you have your Siri says?
I never talked to Siri. Fuck Siri. I hate Siri.
There is no clearer indication of Colin's personality.
Every time I ask Siri to do anything, it does it fucking wrong.
I know! That's why I changed it to the Irishman, because then I can just say, well, he's drunk. He's probably drunk on potatoes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Just don't ever text anybody that you'll meet them at Handjob Express.
That's true. I did find out that if I say Panda Express using the voice to text, it will straight up change it to Handjob Express. And then I hit send and suddenly, well, I guess we have to meet at Handjob Express.
Oh, my gosh.
That happened with...
10 hands, no waiting.
Yeah. That actually was a text that I sent to my ex, and she was like, what have you been telling your phone? And I'm like, nothing, just Panda Express. I don't know why my phone knows the word.
Why would it assume hand job? Why would it assume that?
I don't know why my phone knows to capitalize hand and job and put a space in between. I don't know. I don't know. That's especially, Apple's fault. It's not mine.
I mean, I try to get my phone to cuss, and it won't. It always wants to suggest other things.
And then it does it when you don't want it to. And then suddenly, you look like an asshole. I mean, I could look like an asshole without help. Thanks, phone.
I've turned off autocorrect. I don't even trust autocorrect anymore. I'm serious.
Now you're starting to sound like a crazy old conspiracy theory, dude.
Just saying.
Listen, man, the government wants you to use autocorrect.
I'll look at what it suggests and be like, nah, fuck you. I want
to say. The problem is it has like a sixth grade sense of grammar and sentence structure. And if you're slightly more complex than that, it translates everything to like fuck, hand job, fuck. It really does.
It does. But speaking of autocorrect and English, I got a spam email recently.
Oh, no. Not again.
That I think was created by one of those English generators. This is what it says. It's from Ruth.
Oh.
Hello, Ruth.
My body is filled with hope, which I assume means she's banging Obama. It says, do you want a bed partner with burning and beautiful shapes?
You want the burning.
Do you want the polygons? I like activities which will make you shy if you will even thinking about them. My smackable back is waiting your lips. My smackable back. And my trained tongue can make a shocking things with you. Will you like to take a look at me? All pics are in my personal profile. Look here. My smackable back. Not smackable ass.
Smackable back.
Not even backside.
Smackable back. Like, is she choking at this point? Do you have to hit her on the back to get her to spit up that corn?
Nothing's hotter than the Heimlich.
So that's the kind of spam.
It's got a lick in it.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my.
There you go. Oh, my God.
So what is in this drink?
Oh, what's in there? Oh, yeah, I already told you. It's the flagship drink that I make.
Right. What's flagship mean?
What does flagship mean?
So it's your
This is one of Derek's signature drinks.
Yeah, okay.
He made this recipe.
Yeah, this would be my personal signature drink. It has passion fruit syrup. It has falernum. It has grenadine. It has cinnamon syrup. It has lemon juice. It has bourbon, and it has overproof rum.
So no coconut.
No coconut whatsoever.
I don't know why I'm tasting coconut.
Probably because have you ever heard like if you smell almonds, you're having a stroke?
No, I heard smell burning toast.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, if you smell almonds, you have an infection. Burning toast. Burning toast, you're having a stroke. And if you taste coconut, you're having an aneurysm. And that's just, I've gotten you so drunk that you're having an aneurysm.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, it's literally.
It's actually a spin on a very classic drink.
Called the Port Light. But it's amped up to the point of being.
Paralytic.
Paralytic, yeah. It's, yeah. But there's also a dream, there's already a drink called the Paralyzer.
This is a dark light, though.
You could call it the Leg Breaker.
It's called a dark light. It's already got a name.
Fine.
It's a dark
already
light.
Got a name.
It's what
Keep
was
the name you have.
In
Fine.
The fanciful skull mug.
This one. That was drinking
was
the same
displaying
thing.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have a higher tolerance to this kind of stuff than I do.
Oh, I definitely I do not. Which, I'll be honest, acts to my detriment sometimes.
It costs more to get you drunk, I'm sure.
It does, but we only touched on some of our experiences in New Orleans.
I like that he's got the beautiful glass.
The juice glass,
the bamboo.
Yeah, he's drinking out of a Noritake glass from the 50s. And Jess is drinking out of the Psycho
Much
Susie's.
Mug.
Yeah, I'm drinking out of a Psycho Susie's mug.
Yeah.
Psycho great. Susie's being a
it's a bucket mug. That's what's
bar
considered
in
a
Minnesota,
mug.
Minneapolis to be exact. It's right on the
mouth of the Mississippi River,
which is great because it's like you see the origin of the Mississippi River. I shouldn't say mouth, the origin, the source, if you will, in Minnesota. Psycho Susie's is a great place.
The headwaters, right?
It's a fun place to hang out in Minnesota. It's I would give their drinks a solid B minus.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be mean. No, it's just strong. They are, in terms of like, if you're trying to go for accurate tiki, they're definitely just like, we're just going to go outside the rules a little bit. We want to get you shit hammered, but we have the best patio on the Mississippi River. And I do. I think they have one of the best patios ever. Their vibe is wonderful. And they will get you shit hammered. And if you have to, if you find yourself in a situation where you have to be in Minneapolis, they're definitely a wonderful place to hang out.
To make you forget you're in Minneapolis.
Pretty much. Exactly. Oh my God. Because just about every other bar in Minneapolis is full of shit.
I pray for you that you're there in the summer months.
Yeah.
Like late spring, summer, early fall.
Yep.
Anything else is just like, get the fuck out of Minnesota.
Yep. Speaking of get the fuck out of Minnesota, hey, Heather.
Yeah.
You got anything to say? What's your favorite dad story?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many, but the one that just popped into my head was when we were at the golf course. It was when Troy and I worked there, and some guy was giving Dad some shit about something that was going on at the golf course, and Dad was telling him that he couldn't do it, and somebody said, who died and made you God? And Dad, I don't remember the first part of it, but all I know is Dad said, I'll smite your ass.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's something that Troy and I use on a constant, that we will smite your ass.
Yeah. Dad said it. Dad was never afraid of people.
The experience I remember is him making me jump out of the car in the middle of Palmer Park to look for $20 bills that were blowing around.
Oh, yeah. He stopped the car and backed up in the turn lane
between
where that whirly ball is now and Village Inn and said, I swear I saw cash in the go get it.
And I jumped out and was looking around in traffic for $20.
Good for you.
I think I found two.
I think you
found
two.
See, but you found two.
Yeah.
We went to breakfast and that was what paid for our breakfast.
Yep.
There you go.
And it was someplace. Yeah. Where was that? It was over on Powers and Palmer Park, but it was over by where Kmart used to be, and it was in that little area, and we used to go for breakfast quite often, and it's closed and it doesn't exist anymore.
What was that called?
Yeah, that was where we went for breakfast that day.
Huh. I don't know. Is that the East Side Diner?
Maybe.
Oh, well, what a terrible fucking shithole that would be. You know who owned that?
No.
Chuck Baker. Fuck that guy.
Oh.
Fuck that racist, homophobic piece of shit.
Well, I don't know if that was where it was or not, but I mean, like, we're
Kmart. No, I think that was it.
Was it?
I think that was it, yeah.
Because we went there a few times, and then either they closed or we just never went back there. I think they closed.
Closed because he's terrible.
Right.
And he's dead now.
So good.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Anyway, you didn't know my dad very well, so you probably don't have a story.
I'm really sad that I didn't get to know your dad better. We started seeing each other at a point where he was very medicated and
not around a lot.
Not around a lot. In fact, the only I don't know if I should share this or not.
Hey, please do.
The only cohesive conversation I ever had with your dad was about how much your ex-girlfriend could kick my ass. You were out of the room, and
I don't believe that.
No, it was right after you had run the Spartan race, and we were gonna have dinner.
Oh,
like
yeah,
I had come
was
down,
in
yeah.
So much pain,
and
so much pain.
I was in the Springs, and we were gonna go out and have some food, and he was in the kitchen, and you were like, "I gotta go change. I just ran this race earlier in the day, which I didn't even know that much about." And you were out of the room, and your dad's conversation with me was pretty much like, "You know, his girlfriend could kick your ass." And I was like, okay, cool.
Except for
we're going to go to dinner.
Except for the fact that her lame ass got hypothermia and couldn't finish the fucking race. So let's see. She couldn't even finish the fucking race, so I don't think she's kicking anybody's ass.
But your dad was charming. He was charming. I think the only other thing I remember him telling me was, I like your socks.
Oh, wow.
I was wearing knee socks that were, you know, knee socks with shorts.
I like your socks.
It's a weird thing I do sometimes when I'm cold, and yet I want to wear shorts. I wish I had known him better. I really do. Like, because after that, he, when we really started dating each other, he was unfortunately very sick. And the few times I came over when he was here, he was not in a position to have a cohesive conversation without asking me repeatedly, who the fuck are you?
You know, one of the things that I remember from being a small child was that he cursed indiscriminately around us. And there was a turning point where he stopped cursing around us and started literally making up words on the fly. And I think that turning point was me. I was sitting in the back seat of the car, and he had called somebody in a road rage sort of way an asshole. And I asked, finally, I was like, Dad, what's an asshole? And I don't think that he would have stopped, but it was definitely the glare from my mom, like, you're fucking this up. But he started, his thing was always not cursing, but making up words like nip-nop and just nonsense words that he would constantly use in place of curse words, which became almost a fun game in and of itself. But fast forward to being an adult, we had done this family vacation to Las Vegas when I was still married, and you were with us?
No.
That was the one where we were pushing him in the wheelchair.
Yeah, I didn't go to that.
Okay. So we were staying off strip. We were staying over on the Boulder Highway, and he wasn't in great shape, but he was still coherent. And we had rented a minivan, and we were driving to Las Vegas and stopped in Grand Junction, took shifts and all that. And I was driving, and he was in the way back. No, I think he was in the front seat for this one, because he had been in the way back, but he wanted to sit in the front seat. And I went to get on the highway, and some homeless dude just kind of wandered out in front of the car, probably looking to get hit to get a little bit of money. And I slammed on the brakes, and he had a moment where he forgot to make up a word. And he screamed out, "What are you doing, you butt fuck?" But as he said the phrase butt fuck, he was trying to pull the words back into his mouth. He was like, and he's like trying to come up with a word, but the damage was done, and I was laughing my ass off. And I'm pretty sure this homeless dude did not know what to make of what was going on in the car with him screaming, "What are you doing, you butt fuck?" and me losing my shit and laughing like a loon. And the only reason that I would have laughed like a loon is because I knew that he didn't want to say that word, and that my mom was mortified, and by extension, he was mortified because he had broken the unspoken code of you can't curse in front of the children, regardless of the fact that I was in my early 30s at that point. It was the most beautiful moment.
I feel like,
what are you doing, you butt fuck?
Your dad and my dad would have gotten along together so swimmingly.
They are very similar people.
They never had a chance to meet. Because
they would have definitely...
They probably would have found that they worked for the same fucking gangsters at some point.
It's possible.
At one point or another, at least, were associated with the same, like,
Smalldones.
Those guys? Yeah, those guys. Jidones. Oh, yeah, those guys were... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wink.
Yep.
Yeah.
We had a neighbor growing up that we didn't like. Her truck caught on fire. Randomly.
Randomly. Chaos. Universe is a weird place.
It is. Kids, thank you very much for listening. We had a good time. We hope you did too. Don't forget, we'll be back. My name is Derek Knight. Colin Burton was with us.
Goodbye.
My sister Heather hung out for a while, said some words.
Bye-bye.
Jess said some stuff.
Later.
Remember, fuck Montrose, and we'll see you back again another time. Woo!